And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
What does abideth mean? Any hands on it? Tammy?
No, he had the same.
Means to remain.
Remain, abideth, abideth, continue. In the present tense, I'm sure. What is, how do you divide or define faith? Hands on that. How would you define faith? Or abideth faith? Hands on that? Diane?
Faith is just believing what God said he would do.
That's very good. Faith, believing what God said. We got Reggie with us, so that's very good. That's Reggie. How would you define hope? Hope. Any hands on that? Never fails, hope. What is it?
What was the question?
How would you define hope? Pastor Dan?
A confident expectation.
All right. And do all people have all hope or just some hope? And if so, what are some of the hopes they have?
So few people have no hope.
That's right.
They're without hope.
Without hope, hopeless. That's
one of the two. Either they have no hope or they're without hope. I mean, they're kind of similar, but yet they're different.
Mm-hmm. And what is the hope of the Christian, general Christian? What is their hope? Are they hopeless?
No.
Eternal life with Christ.
Eternal life with Christ is the hope. What else is the hope?
When we talk about that blessed hope, which is the rapture.
The rapture, the coming of the Lord in the air, snatching away the gender Christians, changing their bodies instantaneously, taking us directly to heaven. It's a minute, wonderful hope, isn't it? Abideth hope. A lot of people don't have much hope, and with this country, the way it's going, it's going to be very slowly being without much hope as far as our way of life, our system, our government. The Democrats and the traitor Republicans are just tearing everything away. It's a horrible situation. It's going to get worse and worse, not better and better at all. Yes, come in. All right, so then in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and charity. How would you define charity? It never fails, always continues.
Specifically, it's the love that God has for man.
All right. Divine love, isn't it? Divine love. And that will never end, never fail. That abides. And then, what is the greatest of these three? Faith, hope, and love.
Charity.
Divine love. Why do you suppose that's greater than these other things given in verse 13? The hands on that. Why do you think that charity is greater? Tammy.
Because one day we're going to see the Lord face to face, so we won't need faith. We will have living faith, and the Lord will be right there before us.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be nothing to hope for because our hope has been fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that's going to abide is permanent forever and ever, the charity.
Divine love, absolutely. All right, so... Well, let's see. Faith.
Charity is most important because without the love of God, we would all be lost.
That's
all
right.
Of us.
Yes.
So that's why it's most important.
Yes.
Because without love, love covers a multitude of sins. So
yes, that's good.
Without the love of God, we'd be lost.
That's right.
Well, when you look at the most known verse in Scripture throughout the world, whether born again Christian or not, John 3:16, where it tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only. He didn't say for God so hoped the world or God so faith the world that He loved the world.
So that whosoever believeth in Him,
with the result that
the love and the faith in Him and everlasting that go with the love so that He gave it, so whosoever, only whosoever. A certain group of people, small, tiny, infinitesimal group in the whole world, will trust the Lord Jesus and have everlasting life. That's a good verse to write. All right, so these are the last verse of chapter 13. Any other comments on chapter 13 before we move on to 14? Why don't you read verse 14, 1, 2, and 3 together?
Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort.
Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Those that are listening to us, feel free to call in and make your comments and take care of what you think you should talk about. Anything that you want to talk to us about, we'd appreciate it. So, what is the word follow after? It says follow after charity. What's the dimension of that? Do you think any hands on that? Follow.
Could it be meaning to follow him in obedience?
That's required. Are there any other comments on that? Follow after charity. What does the word mean? Yeah, Anna.
You sort of chase after. That's what you want to make sure that you have.
All right. You said charity. Christian love is very important to follow. And what desire in Paul's day in 1 Corinthians time in 59 A.D., what are they to follow also and desire? He has on that.
Spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts. Some spiritual gifts, but the spiritual gifts I think mentioned here are those that were in Pauline's day and in the day of writing the First Corinthians, and before the Bible was completed, before it was completed in 80 or 90 A.D. Rather, what else in Paul's day should they desire and follow after? Yes, Tammy?
To prophesy.
Was prophecy fulfilled and completed yet in 1 Corinthians 10?
No,
it was still there. The gift was still there. Then in verse number 2, what is he speaking about in Paul's day again? He that speaks in an unknown tongue. What does that mean? What is that talking about? Yeah, John, Paul.
I think he means that he that speak in an unknown language that's can't be interpreted, I believe.
Yeah. Well, the unknown to the people that are listening in that sense. And in Paul's day, that was what was happening in those days. Now, who does he speak to if he has the gift in Paul's day of unknown tongues? Oh, Pastor Dan, you got it.
This is from Franklin.
All right.
Franklin, Tennessee. My greetings, Bob, for today. This is... Pardon? Well, this is from Franklin, Tennessee.
What part of Tennessee does it
Franklin.
Say?
Do we know the person?
Yes.
Well, maybe that's his home address. He has been in China. So maybe this is his home address, but he's probably still in China, he and his wife. This is from Thursday evening, but it's kind of delayed a little bit.
Oh, all right.
It says, greetings, Bob, today. Just hope to let you know we are praying for Mrs. Wade to make a safe return home, while also finding the care that is needed in Christ on Josh Altifer.
Josh Altifer, yes, that's very good. Thank you. Let's wave to Josh Altifer. And was it what? Tennessee?
China.
China. Way over China. China.
Wow.
Well, we don't want to say
why. Appreciate that very much, John Altifer. I remember the email that came. So, in verse, I forget what we're talking about.
Verse 2,
speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now, in chapters 2 of 14. Acts, for example, in chapter 2 of Acts, were foreign languages spoken by those that did not know foreign languages in and of themselves, but were miraculously given to them? Were they in Acts chapter 2? Mm-hmm. Yes. Why did God give that particular gift of a person speaking a completely different language that they ever learned? Why did he give that gift in Acts chapter 2? Can they answer that? Why was that gift given? Tammy?
To confirm the gospel message that the apostles were going to send forth.
Mm-hmm. What was happening in Acts chapter 2? What was the feast day? Yeah, that's it.
There were Jews from all over the region. Mm-hmm. We're returning to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost.
Feast of Pentecost, and so it was important that they all, from all these different nations that they came from, that they all know the gospel of Christ?
No.
No, they did not. So this was a divine gift for the afternoon.
And this was about 50 days, approximately 50 days after the resurrection.
All right, about 50 days after the resurrection was the day of Pentecost. So they were there, and they had a purpose that was very important. And he that speaks in verse number 2, with a special gift at this time of the church age, it's not unto men, but unto God. So that's important, for no man understandeth him. If it's an unknown to him, it's unknown. Of course, these people were from foreign countries, they understood their own language. But this is, he speaks in a different gift. He speaks mysteries. What does mysteries mean? Oh, excuse me, Antoinette.
I'm sorry. The part that you just wrote about, but men speak unto God, for no man understandeth. So this tells me this is something maybe perhaps different than what happened in Acts. But, you know, I did some study on it. St. Paul writes it's the least important gift of all. So it is, in my opinion, a spiritual language, which it says right here, no man understands but God. That's all I wanted to say.
Yes, that's this particular verse mentioned that.
But in contrast, the prophetic spoke to people, man to man, by God, through man. Mm-hmm. So that's why the prophetic gift was more important.
Yes, in verse number 3, down to verse number 3, what is the purpose of the special gift of prophecy before the Bible was completed? This was a special thing. It has nothing to do with today, as Pentecostals, Charismatics teach wrongly, but this was when before the gift was given, before all the Bible was completed, Old and New Testament, this was a special gift at this time. And what is the purpose of this gift of prophecy, or whatever this mentions in verse number 3? What was the purpose of it? Anna?
Well, in this verse, it's edification.
What does edification mean?
To build up.
Okay.
I wanted to say that sometimes the word prophecy can have two different ideas. It can have the idea of foretelling and also the idea of forthtelling, as you tell us often.
Yes.
So perhaps we don't foretell in the way that some of the prophets of old did, but we can foretell in the sense that we look at the scriptures and we speak of what the scriptures say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's foretelling, to tell forth.
What are the three meanings of this type of prophecy before the scriptures are complete? What are the three purposes of this and uses of this, according to this verse? Pastor Dan, and then?
Exhortation.
Okay. Antoinette?
Edification and comfort.
All right. And what else?
Exhortation.
Okay.
Pastor Dan said
all three, edification, exhortation, and comfort. What is the difference between edification and exhortation? Any hands on that? Pastor Dan?
Well, they're very similar. I mean, both have to do with one's more perhaps encouraging, another one perhaps building up, which is they're very close together. I think an edifice, a big building, it's kind of built upon each one stone upon another, one block upon another, or this could be a steel edifice, however it might be constructed. But in other words, it builds up. And exhorting is the same idea of another aspect of building up.
Well, it seems like edification could be more, in a certain sense, like having to do with your, your state of mind, or I don't know, with exhortation may be more doctrinal. So edification perhaps more. Like an emotional, like having a sort of, of course, then there's comfort. So maybe and we have another hand here to clarify things.
Okay, hand, go ahead, clarify.
You understand? You said hand, clarify.
Yes.
Exhortation, I think of that as a warning, or
a challenge, usually a scriptural one, an edification. It could be, foundation should always be the scriptures. And building someone up in scripture. Maybe they don't, they're talking about a problem that they're having, just giving them a scripture to give them a better understanding of how to go about something, and then comfort. You know, sometimes we just need comfort. Maybe God's word, the scriptures, the promises that God has given to his people to be a comfort to them. So,
yes. Very many people are comfortless in this day and age. And what do they resort to instead of the Bible? Dan, guess what?
No.
Your hand is up. Okay. What do some people go to in this wicked world for comfort? Paul?
I guess anything, if they're desperate enough, anything from like drugs to pornography to witchcraft to whatever.
Yes, that's right.
Chocolate.
That's what my hand was reading for. I was going to say food and sugar.
Yes. Now, I had a little comfort before this class that there was no sugar or salt in it. These were nuts that my daughter Diane brought to me. There's no sugar, and it's real, real good, all kinds of different good nuts. And this comfort, but there was no sugar, no caffeine or other coffee or something. Yes, go ahead.
Bless God, praise his name. Dr. Oz talks about how the brain does need a little sugar, and that dark chocolate is... Yes, the antioxidants, but we kind of overdo it in this country of ours.
Yes. Nice
little sugar is okay.
If a natural sugar would be better,
yeah.
All right, so these are the three things that prophecy that God gives in those early days before the scriptures were even completed, and the writing of these New Testament First Corinthians time, all these purposes. Let's read verse number 4, 5, and 6 together.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church.
I would that we
all speak with tongues, but rather he prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, and the church is edified.
Now,
brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine?
All right, verse 4. Again, during this time, before the scripture was completed, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, what does that do for him? In verse 6, any hands on that? What does it do for him, that person?
Verse 4. So that person edifies himself only.
Edifies, builds up himself, see. Apparently God is giving that person this special ministry, special gift, something that builds him up as he receives it from the Lord.
Verse 4.
What about he that prophesieth in Paul's day before the scripture was written, for example? Who does that edify?
He edifies the church.
The whole church. Now, what do they mean by the church? How would you define the church in this context?
Body of believers that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
True body, true Christians who believe in Christ. And that edifies. Does the scripture edify non-Christians? Does it always edify non-Christians?
No.
What do some people think about the Bible? Any hands on that? Anna, and then John.
Well, I was just going to say that the unbelievers cannot be one to the Lord without the scriptures.
What do they think of the scripture, John? You're finished? You want to finish?
Go ahead. The scripture is still relevant to the unbeliever because it's possible that some unbeliever, their eyes might be open into the scriptures. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say that the scripture is many unbelievers are blind to the scriptures, but yet there's no one that they can't become a believer unless they hear the word.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. John.
Yeah, some believe it's just a collection of fables. Others believe that, you know, there's just some good moral teachings in there. Mm-hmm. In terms of whether it can edify a non-believer, a non-believer could gain some edification from the things that are said in the Bible, but their understanding is incomplete because they don't have Christ.
And many of them, Paul.
Not only can a non-believer can become a believer by reading the scriptures and all, but it also says that faith comes by hearing.
And hearing by the word of God.
What do I say? Most, if not many, unbelievers think of the Bible. Any hands on that? Yeah.
They think it's just a nice book or a book that was written a long time ago and it doesn't apply to today.
What do they think the source of it was?
Men.
It's by men. It's by men alone, not by God. But as others said here earlier, that that's required. The scripture, Anna said, that required that they listen to the scripture in order to be saved. There's nothing out in the world that will tell a person how to be saved. Am I right?
Correct.
Nothing in the world. I may write some books and so on that will quote the scripture, but it must be from God. So, if I can get this in time without shutting it off, let me see if I get it off my belt. I made it. Yes, hello, Jacob and Dale.
Yes, I just want to say hello to everybody, and we want to wish you a very happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, very, that's in, is it Texas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Texas. Yep. That's good. It's right out here.
East Texas, right?
I don't remember.
East Texas. South Texas.
Southern.
So, that's in verse number 4. In verse number 5, I would, what does that word would mean in this context? Any hands on that? I would. Nobody? I would. Yes, that's right.
I don't know if this is right, like wish or hope that they also.
Now that's a great one.
I desire.
I would. I hope. That's right. He wants us to be. He wants us to, that ye all spake with what? In these words?
With tongues.
Speak with tongues of language, but rather. That what? What's his first point?
Prophecy.
When Paul's writing this, at the time when these tongues were still with us in this world, prophesy. And then he says, one of these things is greater than the other. And he has on that, which is which? John?
Prophesying is greater than tongues.
Greater than tongues. So somebody that can actually listen to something saying about the scriptures and understand without any question or no miracle needed. Okay. Let's see what Rebecca has to say. Yes, Rebecca from South Carolina.
Hi, Pastor Lee. Yes. Just want to call in and say hello to everybody. And just want to wish you a very special birthday. Want to thank you for your testimony and for your love for the Lord. Just thank you for everything.
Well, thank you very much for your kindness. Appreciate that so much. And we're glad for you people as well. Let's wave to the...
Hi, Rebecca.
Rebecca and David Powell there.
Well, where's Rebecca from?
South Carolina.
All right. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. So in verse number 6, the two of them, the greater, which is the greater? They said it before in the same verse, but it repeats.
Prophesy
is greater. Well, that was a gift there to speak to people so they could understand the words and profit by them. All right, then in verse number, that was number 4. In verse number 5, we always speak with tongues, not that prophesy, that's first. That's how we did that one. We had that one as well. Okay. But also, in the speaking with the tongues, don't do it except what? Well, that must happen. Yes, John?
Interpret. You have an interpreter.
All right.
There's some kind of interpretation.
Yes.
That way the church will receive edifying.
Yes, and that's in the day of Paul is writing these letters, and we need this. See, they didn't have the Bible in those days, so they had to have some means, and God had this special miracle means of relating Scripture to the people that were listening, and before the Bible was in print. Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and then interpreted, translated accurately, as it is in the Bible, accurately in the Bible for English, back to then.
Because it's the style of this reminded us here. So the miracle was not in the ear, but in the mouth.
Yes, that's good. The miracle was in the mouth as a prophesying,
Let me clarify what I mean. I'm sorry. Okay. Tongues, some people say that when they spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2, that the miracle was the people heard in their own tongue, mm-hmm. rather than the apostles speaking in a foreign language.
Yes.
But the very fact that you need an interpreter means that the foreign language is coming out of the mouth, mm-hmm. and not something that the ear is picking up on. Mm-hmm. There needs to be an interpreter in this particular instance that's being used here.
The miracle is in the
speaking and not the hearing.
Right. And in the speaking, in verse number 5, what must accompany that speaking, or what must it be used for? What is the final result there, John?
Again, the interpretation says the church will be edified.
Edified, built up in the faith. Now, it's wonderful. We should be so thankful that we have a Bible that's written down, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and accurately translated in English in our King James Bible, that we can actually read. We don't have to have somebody tell us, explain this. We read for ourselves and ask the Lord to help us in understanding it and being edified by it. And then, did we read 7? We didn't read 7 yet. Now let's read 7, 8, and 9 together. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sound, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp?
For if the harp give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter out the tongue, words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air.
By verse 7, he those things without life giving sound. What are some lifeless subjects that give sound? After that?
Musical instruments.
Piano, mm-hmm. clarinet, trumpet, saxophone, trombone, all these things, they can't speak, but they give sounds, all right? But everything's without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they do what? What is the exception? What must these do in order to have it useful in the hands of them?
There must be a distinction in the sounds.
Distinction. They all play notes, A, B, C,
D,
E, F, all these different sounds. It has to be a distinction. A pipe, harp, distinction in the sounds. What is a pipe or harp? In other words, what are some of the things, the sounds that are piped and harped that have a meaning, something that makes sense musically?
Melody. Melody, in other words, words and notes that connotate mm-hmm. a melody, mm-hmm. a sound, a beautiful sound, if you will.
Diane?
If it's distorted, then
that's different.
It's going to sound awful.
Mm-hmm. Like taps mm-hmm. or reveille?
Yes.
That's a distinct
trumpet sound.
That
distinct
means something.
Sound.
Yes. People that hear that, it means something.
Right.
Yes.
Anna?
Oh, I was just going to say mm-hmm. something similar.
Well, that's okay. And the other? Yes.
Well, this
kind
of goes to... What
were you saying?
Yeah, I was finished.
No, but Tammy was saying...
I hadn't started yet.
They just said something.
You were saying
you uttered some sound.
No, that was Anna uttering sound.
Oh, you had to the sound.
You had to interpret that sound.
I'm sorry.
It was a certain sound.
I'm trying to do the come and get your beans for you, but this, I don't
know. Brooke, what sound is that? What sound is that? What is that called? What's the name of that tune?
Is it a reverie? Or no, that's
reverie.
Reverie is
Mescal?
Come and get your beans. No, that was the one she was using.
Oh.
What does that sound?
Reverie.
That's
fall into formation.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
What's that called?
What about this?
When someone dies, taps.
Yeah.
Well,
no, we don't.
There's a different idea.
When someone dies, they play them.
Yeah, they
like
do.
A soldier.
What was that?
The flag going. Is that the. No, wait.
Charge!
No, no. What is that called?
Means go home and don't come back.
No.
No, that means wake up, doesn't
no,
it?
No, first call.
First call?
Yes.
What does first call mean?
That means you have 5 minutes to get to the flag before you're going to be out of luck.
Okay.
Now let me give you one more. What's that?
I thought that was first call.
What did I say last time? Was that
first call. That's the same sound. It was first call.
All right, let me change it.
First call.
What is that one?
That's the first call.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad used to
do
that.
Yeah.
Pastor.
Well, there's first call and then there's
bugle, my friend.
Final
call. No, but my dad used to pretend that and that was our first call to get up. That's why I was crying because I was remembering it.
Well, assembly is the you don't need that to fight, you're going to be in trouble. See, the first call is.
I think they're both the same. They do sound the same.
The way that you're doing them is the same.
But it's a different call, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they're different call, but I think you're making it sound the same.
The sound is.
I think there's different sounds.
They're not catching the distinction between the sounds.
We have a clue when the trumpet moves in certain sounds.
We know what taps is, though.
Yeah, taps is.
I was crying.
What is that? Yeah, you got that. That's taps. That's good.
That's
right.
All right.
Well,
here's David Howe going to get some hotel. Yes, David. Hello, David Howe.
Hey, Pastor, I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
And also, I wanted to say that this taps or this bugle demonstration is a pretty good illustration of if you don't know what the person is talking about or what the music is, then you're not going to understand what they're trying to say.
Yes.
So I'm not going to have a kid that you
there's a reason.
Anyway,
we got very confused. Thank you. Let's wave to David Howe. David Howe, there in Philadelphia, Normal Sea.
Where is he at?
Holly Hill. Hi, Rebecca. Hi, David.
It's
Holly Hill.
Holly Hill.
Near what?
Charleston. Oh, South Carolina.
South Carolina. All right. Well, thank you. Well, we'll move on then from that. Now, that was in verse number
7.
Thanks a lot about heavy sound. Pipe or harp, you know, there's no distinction in sound. No. What is pipe or harp? All right, 6-7 and then verse number 8. What about this trumpet now? What is true of the trumpet? Here's another sound. David and Rebecca are getting some more trumpet calls. Maybe. Yes, Tammy and then.
Well, the Old Testament Israel had different trumpet calls for assembly and for war.
Mm-hmm.
And to gather for a holy convocation one of their feast days. So if it was a different sound, then they wouldn't know what they were supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a war trumpet sound, and they were supposed to gather for a holy convocation, then it could be a disaster.
Exactly. Does anybody know the trumpet sound for war of Israel?
Oh, wow.
Trumpet sound for war?
No.
My hands on that? I don't think anybody's adept at that. I don't know it myself. But
I was just going to mention that for worship they would blow the shofar.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, did all the Israelites, or should all the Israelites, know what the trumpet sound was?
Yes.
Yes.
That was the ideal.
Very important, see? Because if you don't understand what it is, you're not going to prepare. Now, for example, when you go to sleep at night, everybody's supposed to be in bed. What is that called? One more call.
Taps.
I don't know about taps. Now, does someone want to render taps for us? That's right.
Next year.
you're supposed to be sleeping at that time, or at least go to sleep and so on, that whole sort of thing. Is. But the battle call, I don't know what the battle call, I guess we never were taught that. I was just a bugler around the flight, rising and lowering, and all those calls were your orders. But the battle, never went to battle.
Numbers chapter 10 tells us about it, but we don't have it.
Yeah, we don't know what this is. But that's true. If you don't know the battle call, and the battle call is given, who prepared themselves to battle? See, and so when you don't know some of the scriptures, some of the verses, what God wants us to know, how can you perform what He tells us to do in the Word if you don't even understand it? You can't. So it behooves us not only to read, but to know and understand and ask questions. What does this mean? See, so I can perform it and do it. So that's in verse number 7. A distinction in the sounds. What we know as piped. That's verse number 7. And verse number 8. Oh, excuse me, back to that.
A couple of verses in Exodus 19. One is a long trumpet sound, and one is a loud trumpet sound.
Mm-hmm.
In Exodus 19:13, there shall no hand, there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be sound stoned or shot through, or there be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, it shall come up to the mouth. And then in the next, in verse 16 of the same chapter, and it came to pass the third day in the morning, there was thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud to the people that it was in the camp trembled. So you have a long sound and a loud sound.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another one, another long sound of the trumpet in verse 19 of chapter 19. And when the voice of the trumpet soundeth long and waxed louder, so it sounded long and it increased in intensity and loudness, louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice.
Which of the ways would you like to talk to people, loud or long or both?
Neither. Okay. But if one is playing a trumpet, it's fun to play loud.
Right.
And sometimes long, but then you need more breath
Jill,
to play
you?
It long.
No, good. Some people like to have long conversations. I'd rather have a long conversation, maybe in that regard, than a loud one when the person's on the eardrums.
Pastor, it depends on who you're talking to.
Oh, that's true.
Who's your audience?
Sometimes you like to have short, sometimes
a little
longer.
Some people you just want a short and sweet.
Pastor Dan. But it's not loud enough. That's horrible. You can't even hear it. That's
Numbers chapter 10, verse 4. And if it blows a trumpet, but if it blows one trumpet, and the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. So you could hear it, between one trumpet and more than one trumpet. So if there's one trumpet, that's called for the elders that need to assemble themselves together for a conference of some sort.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So in the verse number 9, except yet the time where it's easy to be understood. Now, are some people easier than others to understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. And why is that? In talking about the Lord, the things of the Lord, things of heaven, should they be easy to understand or hard to understand? What do you think, Paul?
They should be easy to understand, but you're not going to understand unless you read the scriptures.
All right. And the other comments on that about the being understood. If people can't understand what you're saying about the scriptures, about the Lord, about the Bible, then a lot of people can't. Especially non-Christian people, they can understand what we're talking about at that time.
Sometimes people are very impatient and they expect, and I've had this experience in a youth activity where, you know, the pat way of talking to the young people was to tell them the gospel in, you know, well, 1 minute.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that they're understanding, and you try and have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other people are standing over you saying, you know, get to the point. You know, it's like, well, the point is if this child does not understand, they don't understand. So let's get them so that they can understand. Mm-hmm. You know, and if that's...
If they don't understand, it's pointless, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, that's important. And so it's important that with the tongue, you have eight words easy. Did we read nine yet?
Well, Pastor, we well, I've encountered two where you can explain that the gospel and other people are easy to, you know, understand it and want to understand and are receptive for it. Whereas mm-hmm. other people, it looks like they're already understanding, but I don't know if they're just being pretentious or they think they understand it. Mm-hmm. You know, only the Lord knows. Mm-hmm. Then you might try to talk to them again and again, mm-hmm. you know, and they'll say, okay, and maybe they'll pacify you or something. Then you notice that there's no evidence in their life that they really are saved, and you're like, well, oh, is it just pacification? Are they just, you know, saying, oh, yeah, they understand, and oh, yeah, they agree when they really don't?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't. Is there truth to them? What does it mean to speak into the air? Is that good or bad? What does it mean to speak into the air? Anna and then Tammy.
Well, generally, I think the implication is that your words aren't being heard. Although generally when we talk, we do have to speak into the air so that the sound can travel to someone else's ears. Unless we're talking underwater but if we talk into a vacuum, of course not that we can actually breathe in a vacuum or survive on in a vacuum, but the sound won't go very far in a vacuum. So the sound is beneficial if you speak into air. But hopefully there's someone at the other... someone's ear is going to catch the sound.
Well, I agree with both, but I believe the context here has to do with what you first said. You know, when we speak, we want people to hear us and to listen, but sometimes nobody's listening. We say something, and it's just like everybody's off in their minds somewhere else. So
in this context, it's
present. Yes, I was laughing because Anna was explaining that, I was just thinking how I'm on the phone with someone, and I'll say, hello, is anyone there? Because it seems like it's just kind of like there's no one there, and I'm speaking into the air, or I always say I'm talking to a wall, like there's no response.
Right. Now, in this context, what does this phrase mean to you? You've explained what you mean by speaking in the air, and it's explained, but in this particular context, in this verse, what does it mean when it says, for ye shall speak into the air? Yes, definitely.
Meaning that, in other words, it's not going anywhere. It's as if you're speaking into the air. The person is not understanding what you are saying.
Yeah, what is known, what is to be spoken, what is known about the spoken.
Right.
Yeah, Tammy?
I was just going to say that, too. As far as not being understood, they're not understood.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, Anna.
If you go to a crowded restaurant and there's a bunch of people talking at their different tables, you just hear a bunch of speaking and you can't really distinguish anything. It's just sound in the air.
Right. John, yes,
yeah, serves no purpose.
Serves no purpose. It's just in the air. It's purposeless. All right, let's read verses of number 10, 11, and 12 together.
There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, how shall I know to him that speaketh the barbarian? And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ladies, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, speak that ye may be zealous of the divine of the church.
All right, verse number 11, is it?
10.
10, okay. Now, there may be many kinds of voices. Well, is that true or false? Are there many kinds of voices or are there not?
True.
That's true. See? So there may be, it really are. He's making that. So many. And what is true of each one of them, Danny?
Well, there's different languages. I don't know how many languages in the world.
About 7,000.
Okay, thank you, John. That's information.
I didn't know that.
That's a lot.
All right, we'll take that.
So I understand 6,999 of them.
If you you understand all but 699.
Yeah.
Yes, there are actually
6,999.
That's very good. So it may be so many kinds. None of them is without signification. What does that mean? None of them is without signification.
None without importance.
Importance? What did you say?
None without importance.
Without importance, okay, yes, Ed. Paul?
Could some of them, I'm not saying for all, but could it also mean not only without importance, but could it also mean they have their own dialect or something like that?
It could be. She was Anne-Marie and yes, Anne-Marie and Randy from Canada. Go right ahead.
Hello, Pastor Wade. Yes. Randy and I want to say happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
And to greet everyone that's there. Thanks to you, we know everyone that was at church this morning and at Bible study this afternoon. We know each one of you personally, and we can keep you in prayer. And nice to see Diane and Reggie there, too. And I don't want to just mention certain people's names and then other people feel left out. So each one of you, I say hello. And Pastor Wade, there's a verse, there's actually some verses in Scripture that will be familiar to you on your birthday especially. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food.
Amen.
And that's Job chapter 23, verses 10 to 12.
Those are good verses.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. That's way of Anne-Marie and Randy. Bye-bye. Randy is in Canada, all the way from Canada. Oh, it's wonderful. She's right with you. She knows all of it by name. It's wonderful. Thank you very much. So that was first, what was it?
10.
10, okay. Then in verse 11. Therefore. Why is it therefore, therefore? Any hands on that? Therefore. He's got that thing. It's a logical, reasonable word. What's it there for?
As a result.
All right, as a result of what? He says all these languages, and there's another one of them that's not without meaning and signification. Therefore, what? What's his result of that first sentence into the therefore? What's it getting at? What is this therefore, therefore? The hands on it? Well, what does it say after the therefore? That will tell us why it's therefore.
If I don't know the meaning, then I'm as a barbarian or an uncivilized or uncultured person.
Yeah. Everybody, some people know these other languages, but if I don't know them, I'm like unto them, like a barbarian, see? For instance, I'm sure most of us do not know fluent Russian or fluent Swahili or other things like that, but therefore, I know not the meaning of, if I know not the meaning, what is the result of that? All these languages in the world, if I don't know the meaning, what is my condition? Any hands on that? What is my condition?
Barbarian.
Barbarian? Anna?
So if you try to talk to someone that's speaking this other language, they might not understand you, and you won't understand them.
That's right.
And so, it would just be like, barbar.
That's right. That's what barbar means. Barbarian means. Barbarian to barbarian. Yeah, chill.
And again, like verse 9, for you shall speak into the air. It would be similar to speaking into the air, like putting your head against the wall, like, or speaking, nothing's being heard, and doesn't make sense to even speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not going to be heard or received or anything.
That's right.
Pastor.
Yes.
We can speak English and experience that as well.
Some people don't understand that.
Because there's no meaning.
Right.
No meaning.
Or sometimes you're speaking English, but we're using unclear words. It's like somebody says they want a hamburger. Well, we have many. Which would you like? Do you want a small one? Do you want a large one? Cheese?
That's Wendy's talk.
I have a single. And then it's like, no, I want the kids back. Never mind.
You have to be very precise with it.
Yeah, that's right. Barbarian. That's absolutely right. And then we saw that we looked. Did we read the 12 inch?
Yes.
We haven't seen. So even so, ye. Now he's talking right to the people he's writing to. He's liking it to barbarian talk. What does he say in verse 12? What does he say in verse 12? What does it mean? What does he mean? So much as ye are zealous as... Uh-oh, that's the end of the class. When one hour's up, that's it. But we'd always have a little time for other things. Any other comments that you want to have before we close? Always open it up at the end. But this is the end as far as the time, the 1 hour. That's an end. That's the end. Sunday afternoon and Thursday evening as well. Any other thoughts? If not, Randy, was you closing your word prayer for us?
Randy.
I'm sorry, Randy. Right. Randy.